Let's give the worship team and the band a hand for leading us tonight. It's really good. And Micah doing a little spoken word for us. Let's thank him for that. That was awesome. I kind of wanted to jump up there for a minute. If you have a, put it on this side. Still putting him to work. That's what happens when you're the youth minister. You get put to work. This month we've been kind of leaning in on the idea of wishes, and I don't know if you guys have any wishes this year. I know that as a kid it was really exciting around Christmas time, a lot of things that I wished for. I mean, I'm old enough to remember looking into like the Sears and Roebuck catalog. It was like this thick, and it had like this and this much toys, and they would even have like a toy section that would come in the mail. And so I can remember every year having maybe a couple different things that I was really hoping and wishing that I would get for Christmas. And you know, kids, I can't make any promises tonight, but at my house a lot of those things ended up under the tree on Christmas morning, and it just makes the whole time of year special, right? Kind of that anticipation, and Christmas is really special. I remember one year I got to the very end of the presents under the tree, and I always like to leave the biggest package for last. Whatever the biggest present was, I was thinking like bigger the better, right? Like I know ladies are thinking, you know, and some, you know, really nice things come in small packages. Guys, I'm trying to help you out. You know, still time maybe to run to Walmart if you need to get one of those small packages. But you know, for me as a kid, you know, like maybe I think I was a preteen this year. I was looking at this big package. I was saving it to last. I don't know if there was something that I specifically wanted. I thought it was in that package, but I looked at this one. I got down to the last package. I was ready to open. I was excited. It was from my parents, and when I opened it, I found a toilet seat. And I thought, wow, this is really nice, Mom and Dad. And my mom, who really loved to laugh, thought she got the biggest kick out of it. Like, she dashed my dreams, you know, like just shattered me, but it was funny to her because it was a toilet seat. And so not always do you get what you're wishing for, but a lot of times at Christmas you do. And certainly the story of Christmas, I think, is a wish that was spoken as Micah kind of led us through a chronology of God's chosen people and the promise and that wish of something to come. If you could wish for one thing tonight, what would it be? There's a good chance that a lot of us might wish for something about 2020, like can we just get out of 2020? You might wish to go, things would go back to normal, or wish that the vaccine would get to market quickly as it seems to be doing, and that it would be effective and the virus would dissipate quickly. There might be one or two here in the room that are still wishing for a puppy like tomorrow, I don't know. But if I'm sensing the way most of us feel, I think we would wish to move forward, get past a difficult and a weird year, and get on with our lives. See, we've been thinking about this idea of wishes, and we've defined a wish as the hope of something yet to come. So I've heard a lot of people say this year, I'm just hoping that we can get together with family. And I can tell you, I'm really thrilled to be celebrating Christmas together, both here in the room and those who are watching online with my church family here tonight. We weren't sure we were going to get to do this, so we're glad to be here. And think about that. Like, don't we all kind of long for connection? Isn't that one of the things that we've really missed this year? And I think it's one of the things that is detrimental to us as people and students and young adults and older Americans and all around the world, is that connection. Have you ever thought about that in the context of the Christmas story? Mary and Joseph leave their hometown of Nazareth to travel to their ancestral home of Bethlehem. And the Bible gives no indication that anyone else traveled with them, just Mary and Joseph, Mary, who is great with child. And it was there in Bethlehem, away from home, that Mary gave birth to Jesus. I want to read from Luke chapter 2. It's the most famous of the Christmas story passages. Follow along here as I read and think about this idea of connection. Verse 6 and following says, while they were there, speaking of Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So Mary's mother, here's this young girl having her first child, Mary's mother not there to help. There's no midwife to call in and coach Mary through this. Her first child delivered in a stable, the baby placed in a manger. a feeding trough for animals. Just Mary, Joseph, and this newborn child. Probably not the way Mary envisioned it, was it? But to be honest, none of this had gone the way Mary had thought it would. Don't you think that Mary and Joseph felt just a little disconnected? But throughout the story of Jesus' birth, one of the things that I see is that God continually builds connection. As a matter of fact, I would say this about the Christmas story. That is the story of Christmas, connection. Let's keep reading in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So God sends this group of shepherds. He appears to them through the angels, give them this message that the Messiah has been born. Why don't you go check it out? Pick it up in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. So God sends this group of shepherds to make a connection with Mary, Joseph, and this baby. I still remember the morning our girls were born almost 17 years ago. We have twin girls. They'll be 17 in a couple weeks. And Bonnie had been admitted into the hospital near where we lived in Newport News, Virginia at the time. And we kind of thought that she was, she wasn't to full term yet. We thought, well, she's going to be here for a couple weeks. They're going to keep her on bed rest until we get closer to full term. And Bonnie sent me home to get some sleep that night, thinking it was going to be a couple weeks, you know, process and to take care of our dog. This was when we had a good dog named Ollie, not our bad dog that we have now called named Otis. Just to clarify, Otis would have been on his own. You don't know Otis.
I know Otis.
He's bad. Otis is bad. Ollie was good. So I go home to take care of the dog and to get some sleep. Bonnie calls me at about 4 in the morning. She says, "I think I'm in labor. Things are starting to happen." So I jump up, I get dressed, I head back to the hospital. By the time I get there, Bonnie's in full-on labor. And around 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I call my parents and I call Bonnie's parents and say, "Hey, it's happening. We're going to have these baby girls this morning." And so our girls were delivered about 7:30 that morning. And I remember when I left the delivery room, there's a lot of stuff that happens after babies are born, a lot of weighing and poking and prodding and crying and all that kind of stuff. And so it took a couple minutes. But when I walked out of the delivery room into the hallway, I remember Bonnie's mom and dad coming around the corner. And Bonnie's mother was just excited but nervous. You know, I hadn't been able to tell them how things had gone. And I assured her that girls were doing great. Bonnie was doing great. And they were excited for us, and we got to share that moment. And eventually, Bonnie's mother got to go in and see Bonnie and the girls. And I'm a little fuzzy on the rest of that day, but I think my parents ended up showing up that day as well. But here's what I do remember: it was a happy time. Like when children are born, it's a happy time, and you know what you do? You call your parents. You share that with your neighbors and your friends and family. These days, you post it on Facebook, you know. And everybody, some of the most liked and loved posts on social media are when we enjoy sharing the birth of a child. Can you imagine being away from home and giving birth to your first child? No one there to celebrate with you. No one to say congratulations, to bring you diapers, to help with midnight feedings. No FaceTime or Zoom to connect with family and friends and to share the good news. And that's exactly what's happening to Mary and Joseph when there's a knock at the door and Joseph goes to see who in the world could this be. He opens the door and there's this group of shepherds. And I'm sure the shepherds told them that how they heard that this army, literally an army of angels, announced to them that the birth of this child and that he would be the Messiah. And they had to come see for themselves. I guess at this point, nothing really surprises Mary. She's heard from Gabriel She's heard about Joseph's dream as he heard from the angel as well. She's seen her relative Elizabeth give birth to John, even though Elizabeth was well beyond childbearing years. She's heard the prophecy of Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. And now angels appear to shepherds. God sends a connection. The Messiah would not go unnoticed, even in a distant town, separated from family, alone in a manger. This baby slept. Even while disconnected from family and friend, God makes this connection. And the shepherds, they left and they couldn't help but tell others what had happened and what they had seen and what the angel said. And I'm sure that brought more visitors to see this special child. And Luke says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. But that's not the only connection God sends. Let's keep reading in verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. So 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph take the child to the temple in Jerusalem. It's about 6 miles from Bethlehem. And they go there to present Jesus to God, to consecrate him before the Lord. They offer two young birds as a sacrifice before God. And God sends another connection. God sends first a priest and then a prophet. It says about Simeon, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law requires. Simeon, the Bible says in verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms. He took this newborn baby in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33 says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. God sends Simeon into Mary, Joseph, and Jesus' path to encourage and to bless them. And this blessing further confirms God's message to Mary and Joseph about this child. It just, everything continues to line up just as God said it would. And essentially, Simeon, this older priest, says, now I can die knowing, Father, dismiss your servant in peace, knowing that I have seen the Lord's Christ. I've seen the Messiah. And if that's not enough, God then sends the prophet Anna to speak to them. Verse 38 says, coming up to them, Anna, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. A prophet and a priest sent to connect and encourage Mary and Joseph. And finally, God sends Magi. In Matthew chapter 2, there's another storyline that happens while all of this is kind of happening around Jesus' birth. Verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Did anyone see the Christmas star this week? Did you hear about that? I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night. Apparently Saturn and Jupiter lined up, you know, kind of from our vantage point. And it looked like one big star. Now, from our house, you could still sort of see two stars, but I saw some pictures where it looked like they kind of came together. It was like one bright star. And if you missed it, it's okay. It'll happen again in about 800 years, right? You can see it then. And they call it the Christmas star because some astronomers have theorized that this could have been the same astrological event that happened around the time that Jesus was born and talked about here in Matthew chapter 2. It looked like this giant star, and it could be that that's what the Magi saw. I don't know, could be. Some say the timing is right. Pretty cool if it is. But whatever it is the Magi see, they were used to looking at the stars, and they would interpret celestial events like this as some world event, and they interpreted this as a new king somewhere west of them, and they go to Israel. They find the current king, thinking maybe his son was the new king, and he's alarmed. Herod is just, he's super insecure, and he vows to kill all the newborn babies in and around Bethlehem. So Herod instructs these wise men or these magi to go find the child and report back to him, but God warns them not to do that. Listen to what it says, though, when they did go to see Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. On coming to the house, Matthew chapter 2, they saw this child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So God sends yet another welcome party to connect this with this young family. The Magi, catch this, the Magi bring gifts that would be fitting a king. Think about this. Think about how God orchestrates these connections. Four connections that God made with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. All four of these foreshadow who this child would be. A shepherd. He'd be one who would care for his people. He'll be a priest, one who will intercede between God and man. He'll be a prophet, one who will tell what God will do next. And he'll be a king, one who will rule God's people. Each of those, in a special way, connect us with God. That's the story of Christmas. It's all about connection. Maybe you're feeling a little disconnected this year. I get it. We all do. Maybe you're not able to be with your family, or maybe you're not able to be here in person. You're watching online tonight. I know several people who are dealing with the virus this week and are home quarantined, and they're not even able to be with family. It's just one of those years, right? Let me assure you of this. God is reaching out to you. He wants a connection. And that's the whole reason that God sent Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for how you have made a way for us to have connection with you, to be reconnected with you through Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that this baby was born and that he grew up to become our Savior. Lord, we thank you that Mary and Joseph were faithful and believed when the angel told them what was going to happen. And God, I thank you for those who came to celebrate, the shepherds, the priest, Simeon, the prophet, Anna, and the Magi, all who pointed to who this child would become. And Lord, those, all of those shepherds, the priest, the prophet, the king, would all be who Jesus will be to each one of us. So, Lord, we thank you for connecting with us through Jesus. And, Lord, I just pray for that to continue throughout this Christmas and for years to come in our hearts and lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.